Ted McKinney, TEDMCKINNEY, and I'm the Under Secretary, two words, Trade and Foreign Agricultural Affairs for U.S. Department of Ag.
Okay, and what were you talking about today?
Sure. Well, when I was invited here by President of Michigan Farm Bureau, Mr. Bednarski, I jumped at the chance because I know this audience well. They come from all over the U.S. I know that trade is a key topic of interest, even concern with them. So you can't say you're going to be transparent and then not be transparent. So we jumped at the opportunity to come out and visit. The topics we covered were varied. I mean, we had many good questions, but what I basically did was took a spin around the world and just gave some commentary on some of the key countries or regions of the world that are now involved in trade and on the headlines, as it were. So we touched on South Korea and the CORUS agreement. We talked about Japan and TPP versus free trade agreement. We talked about Europe a little bit on the UK and Brexit, and China and some others. And so it was really just a commentary, and here's the world of trade as I see it. And I enjoyed it immensely.
Great. What did you say about China?
Sure.
What is the contention there?
Sure. Well, I tried to make several points. The first thing is, we in ag love China as an export market. And I think they love the quality of product they get here. They tell us they're very appreciative of the work that our different industries, and I'll pick the soybean farmer out for the development work over 25 years in developing the soybean market there. It's giving them a much, much better life. So the personal relationship, I think, I tried to say, was pretty good, and I hope getting better. But that said, our friends in China have not been playing by the rules for a long time. Cheating, the theft of intellectual property, a lot of it with agricultural companies. Delaying regulatory decisions is having and has had a real impact on U.S. farmers and ranchers. And I don't mean just soybeans. I mean across many, many, many different commodities. So in that sense, the president has made the decision, enough is enough. We're going to put our foot down, and we'd love to do trade. I think he and President Xi have a good relationship. I believe that. But that said, you can be friends and still be very stern and forceful with each other, and that's what I think is going on with China, to have them be free, fair, and reciprocal with their trade to us, or us to them, as we are to them. We have a much more open, fair, regulatory, transparency-minded import process, a lot of them including their products. And the reverse is absolutely unequivocally not true. So that's some of the points that we made with respect to China.
It's almost like they were used to having it imbalanced like that. Now all of a sudden we have somebody that's trying to correct that.
I think that's fair. They have not had someone like our president, and I think for the most part, agriculture is standing with the president. Now, I don't think it's an unlimited level of patience. I mean, we do see them. We have found them to be an outstanding market, and they do want our product. I've said that before. But at the same time, there's got to be realization that you can't hold up our biotechnology traits forever. You know, you can't be disrupting things at the port just to make a point. You know, you can't be in and out of markets. It's got to be free, fair, and reciprocal trade. And I think that's what's driving the administration right now.
You're telling farmers to buckle up today for the bumpy ride ahead. How much more do you think can be taken from the agricultural industry with the continued low prices?
Well, I was referencing buckle up with respect to China, so I want to make sure we zero in on one country with that remark. I'm hoping that we can start to loosen the straps, maybe even unbuckle in short order, if we come to an agreement. But until then, the right sizing is going to be, in your words, a bumpy road. If it had to happen, it's probably a good time that we're doing this now, because it's the low time of a lot of our exports. And so my hope is that we see NAFTA landed soon. The Korea agreement has largely already landed. There's a lot of discussion going on with China. For example, Ambassador Greg Dowd, the ag trade negotiator for USTR, and I were in China not 2.5 weeks ago working on agreements and what might we work on, what improvements can be made. But I think it's important for the farmers to continue to be showing the very patience they have to date so that we can build a better future for not only their farming operations, but those of their children or grandchildren. We've got to right-size this now or we never will.
There's been talks that Purdue has accessed the Commodity Credit Corporation to potentially buffer some of those bumps. What's the potential of that actually happening?
Well, we're working on a lot of mitigation plans. The Commodity Credit Corporation comes up and would be a logical one if that were chosen. But we have not settled on what we'll use. It might vary across different commodity needs. But I would say right now we don't want to hand our playbook over. And so because there's work going on many, many different fronts with many, many different tools, we'll just leave it at that. But I'm delighted that the president and the secretary, and I've echoed that as well, have said we're going to backstop our American farmer. We know that they are the tip of this spear, and we'll not let the U.S. farmer and rancher be the victim of this necessary, I think, trade dispute, or at least until it's settled.
Yeah, can you briefly give us the NAFTA talk that you gave? I came to you later.
Yeah.
What was that? What is the...
Sure. Well, I'll start by saying we have great trading partners with our friends to the north in Canada and our friends to the south in Mexico. And I mean friends in every real sense of the word. We've got terrific trading partnerships, and all of us know that. That was point one. The second point, though, is 25 years later probably is a right and necessary time to hit the reset button, to right-size it. And so two great examples of things that have come already that are in the wait for an approval are the biotechnology chapter of NAFTA 2.0. There was no biotech chapter in the original NAFTA. That language is outstanding. It's a model for the rest of the world to follow. The same goes with the sanitary, phytosanitary chapter. That's the food safety, food security kinds of chapters where oftentimes countries will hide behind an SPS concern as an excuse not to have free, fair, and open trade. That chapter has been completely rewritten. It looks outstanding. So those are two pluses that are largely done already. Now we just got to settle in on the very difficult issues. I think we're very near with Mexico. There's some things we got to work through, but I think we're very near. Our friends with Canada, though, seem to be dug in on this Class 7 managed milk supply. And I would just echo Secretary Perdue when I say, if you're going to have a managed milk supply, manage it. They're not managing it. They deny our milk to come in, and then they take all their excess dried milk powder, dump it on the world market at half to two-thirds world price. I don't think there's very much free, fair, and reciprocal about that. So it's actually surprising that our friends in Canada are exhibiting this behavior. So we're going to see how we can work that out. And hopefully they'll come and realize that's not in the best interests of free, fair, and reciprocal trade either way, and come to fruition. I hope we land that one soon. It needs to.
I like those examples you give, those quick examples. Is there any way that you can explain the philosophical differences between, you know, President Trump is trying to make things right. I mean, he's been such a successful businessman so long, mm-hmm. that some of that, I and other people think, well, we got to trust him. He must know what he's doing. Whereas other people say, no. And there's a philosophical bent behind it all.
Yeah.
What are those?
Well, I'm not sure I'm the best person to, you know, psychoanalyze our president, except to say that he has deep held beliefs, and we know that many of these have long been there. They were not just a campaign myth or a quick soundbite. Many of these beliefs he's had for a long time. And he's absolutely right on many of his aspects of trade, and that is the slippery slope of cheating by other countries is pervasive and getting worse. And there's many, many examples in and across U.S. agriculture to provide evidence of that. So the man means what he says. And when he says we're going to right-size this, that's what he's doing. Now, to be sure, it causes nervousness. My goodness, yes. And it couldn't come at a worse time in some regards, because margins on the farm, if they're positive at all, are razor thin. So it's a very difficult time to do it. But the point that I think the president and many others would say, and I would say most of ag is telling me that for a period of time, they're hanging with him, is if we don't right-size that now, we'll never get it done. With China rising and their population, the world population is getting more money. They are buying protein. And if we see this slippery slope of cheating going on, where are we when we want to pass a farm to our children or a nephew or niece or grandchildren? So difficult time, but I think most in agriculture would tell me there's never a right time to do that. And so I think if that's what you're getting at with philosophy, I think that's what's really driving this need to fix this now. And it just happens that there's a lot of countries that haven't quite been fair in their trade, at least in the president's eyes.
We've got one more question.
You mentioned landing NAFTA soon. Any timetable?
No. I don't know. I mean, that would be a U.S. trade rep's responsibility. Now, we provide a lot of people in support of that, so I'm sort of front row on the bleacher, but I'm not in the negotiation. And by necessity, USTR needs to keep that confidential, which I respect. I just hope that the indicators that have been made visible for so long, the Mexican presidential elections are, you know, upon us. We have our own midterms. I've seen that listed in the media. Canada has two major provincial elections that have taken place. So there's a lot in play, not just with Mexico, but with all three countries that need us to get this settled.
Okay, thank you.